Thanks for listening to the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight, 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern, 7 to 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Fox Sports Radio, final slide over baby hour of the week. Jason Smith, Mike Harmon, live from the Geico studio.
These nuts!
Oh, we... Tyshir,
that too.
You're always so ready for the slide over baby hour. You just get too excited.
Jason, when I walk in at 3 o'clock, I'm thinking of slide over.
Yeah, the thing, like, okay, this is what the show is like, the slide over baby hour, just a peek behind the curtain. Okay, if Harmon and Tyshir and I went out for drinks, right? We're all single. Let's say we're all single. We all go out to a bar. And there's three girls who are sitting by themselves. And they kind of look over and they're looking at us. And they're giggling and looking over and looking at us giggling. It's like, oh, okay. You know, my thought would be, let's buy them drinks and let's see what happens. They'll wave us over. We'll do it the cool way. Harmon would just walk over and go, I got purple shorts on. What's going on? And Tyshir would walk over and go, hey, what's up, ladies? Let me tell you about how healthy you can be if you eat really healthy food. And they would go, whoa, who are these two guys? What about the cool guy over there that just wanted to buy us drinks?
Yeah, the cool guy that wanted to buy us something. Screw that.
Mike, so I'm getting this out of all three of us. He's the cool one. That's what I'm getting from this,
yes,
right?
That's what he's trying to purport.
Jason, yes. What?
You guys would be too excited, too early, and
Jason,
too crazy. No, it's how
that's
go,
like
man.
Saying I'm the guy with the hot takes on this show. Come on.
You're the guy that said you don't pay attention to the sports on
no.
the show last hour.
Why? You saw who I have in the finals for football, for the Super Bowl. I have the Lakers and Galaxy. Come on now.
That's true, you do, and that will be
Pulisic a tough is going to be MVP. Come on now.
Yes, that will be. That's exactly how it would go. That's
not
how
at
it would
all.
Go in a bar. Yeah, 100%. That's how it
Jason,
would go.
Jason, they wouldn't even 100%. Look your way if you did that.
If I did what? If I
Dude,
bought them dreads?
Mike already. I'm have Mike. Mike is my wingman. He has the purple shorts. That's already an in. He'll walk up and he'll have that like, oh, and they're like, dang, these guys are fun. And then I slide in with some health talk. It's over.
Because that's what girls like is health talk.
I'm just saying, dude. You'd be surprised. You'd be surprised.
You know, I wish I could go out and meet a guy tonight who's going to come and what? Talk dirty to you? No. Sweep you off your feet? No. Be really chiseled and a buff guy and really sexy? No. I want a guy that's going to come and tell me the real thing about eating health food. I need a guy to come up and tell me about what it's really like eating kale and how healthy it is. I want someone to tell me the truth about cauliflower.
Two words. Because
that's my question. Do you think cauliflower is a really healthy thing to eat? And when he tells me no, cauliflower is empty calories, that's the guy I know who I'm going to fall
You're
in love with.
And then you hit him with sour soap. It's over. Over.
No. When you say hit him with sour soap, it sounds like you have like a bar of soap in a nylon and you're swinging it around and hitting people with it.
That's what the people outside need to think, okay?
That's not.
Wow.
Sour soap.
I'd completely be the cool one.
Didn't they do that to Private Pile?
Oh, now that went dark.
Wow. Why do you have to? Wow. And then why are you going to bring up the dead guy?
Yeah, Mike.
I mean, you saw how it turned out for Private Pile? Didn't turn out well
just
for
saying,
him.
Did you not get enough love?
You don't want to push to that end because you never know how it's gonna react, buddy. I mean, come on.
What is that? What the blank is that? Sir, a jelly donut. Sir, a jelly donut.
Are you allowed to have jelly donuts, Private Pile?
No, sir, because I'm too heavy, sir.
I bet you could suck a golf ball through a gar nose.
Oh, whoa, that's not the same scene.
Are you sure?
That's a different
part of
no,
the
it's
scene.
Not.
Again, this is how I would be the cool guy, and you guys wouldn't be. They would.
Well,
go,
but if you drop that line, you're going to have takers.
No, see, because I...
may not be the taker you want in the long term. But short term, that could work.
You guys, I was the original cool guy in the bar, man.
I don't believe that you were buying drinks like you're purporting.
Never.
Me walking into a bar is like Peyton Manning throwing the football at the RCA Dome. It's so comfort. It's like being in your own living room. That was me in a bar, man.
Let me guess, you were dressed cool like guy. Chris Penn in Reservoir Dogs.
No. I used to wear timeless outfits to the bar. I would wear jeans and a t-shirt. It's what works.
Backwards hat, right?
probably wearing a tracksuit.
You always handed out a hat every night, right? At least one? Over under
no,
at one?
No.
There's no way. You said you gave out so many hats.
No, I did, but I never wore a tracksuit to a, I mean, I'm sure it's sometimes I've been in a bar wearing a tracksuit, but I've never gone out going, this is my outfit. This is my going out outfit. This is it. I'm going to wear this tracksuit. I'm going to wear this because it's velour, because it matches the pants, and I'm going to look like James Gandolfini, Sopranos season 3. No, I was never that guy. Never that guy.
Do you ever wear like a plain white tee and just sweats?
Yeah, it's what I'm wearing right now, actually.
Knew it.
Well, I'll tell you, you know what?
I can't tell you the last time that I haven't worn for all day shorts or sweatpants. Something else besides that. Every day, it's shorts or sweatpants. I mean, it's a new way of life. I can't tell you the last time. And, you know, you see, when we would do the show from the studios, now we're doing the show from home, I'd come in wearing sweatpants every night. Yeah. I mean, I can't tell you. When's the last time I put on a pair of pants where I was like, okay, where they actually had buttons or, you know, a zip-up fly or, you know, they were some kind of form to them or shape. No, it's sweatpants and shorts every single day, man. That's my
pretty
life.
Crazy.
I'm living, man. I'm living.
But I would like to note, since we've gotten just a ton of random movie references in here, on the East Coast and in the Central Time Zone, they are celebrating the 30th anniversary of the release of Goodfellas.
Oh, and we'll be doing that years old 2 hours. Yeah, 1990. Now. That's right. Yeah, 1990. Yeah. You're a bad boy, Henry. Oh, what the hell kind of people are they? Although, I will tell you this. The most baller dressing move I've ever seen. I'll tell you this before we get into Giannis and LeBron not winning MVP. This is a great story. I've never told this story before. So remember, I've told you that we used to have a friend of ours who lived here in L.A. that was a game show. She did casting for game shows.
Right.
And anytime she needed somebody to come in and be a contestant because they were testing a game show for networks, she called me and said, hey, can you come in and be our contestant? And I would do a favor. Go, yeah, sure. Because I'm just there to be the contestant to help them with the game. And she trusted me, you know, being on the air and everything and knew I would just be a good contestant. So I was like, yeah, sure, I'll come and be the contestant. I did it for Deal or No Deal. That was a lot of fun. And then she asked me to do it for this game show that I don't know that ever made it on the air. But it was a game show. It was a movie trivia game show. And I go in and the producers are there with me and we're going through stuff. Okay, here's what the game's going to be like. And we do a run through. And they have questions on the run through. They go, all right, well, we gotta go talk to him and get him in here. And I don't know who they're talking about. We gotta get him in here. We gotta talk to him. Okay, great. I'm going. All right, do you want to hang out for a minute? Here's, you know, we got lunch and everything else. I'm like, yeah, sure, great. They go, we'll be right back. And then coming in, because it was his game show, was Merv Griffin. Okay, so Merv Griffin comes in, right? This is on a lot. This is on a studio lot. And he comes in, and Merv Griffin is worth so much money, right? Merv Griffin comes in. This is in an office where we're all sitting down or in a big area office. He comes in with his dog on a leash, and he is wearing an extremely expensive dress shirt. Like, you can tell it's one of those, like, Brad Pitt Ocean's 11 dress shirts that probably go for, like, you know, $5,000, right? He's wearing an extremely expensive dress shirt, and he's wearing a pair of sweatpants.
Nice. You say that like it's wrong.
He comes in, he goes, oh, this is the genius that's going to get our, you know, to me, he's joking around. This is the genius going to get our game show sold here, everything else. Like, oh, yeah, hopefully so. He goes, hi, I'm Merv. I shake his hand. I go, hi, I'm Jason. How you doing? He goes, ah, how's it going so far? So then they go and make moves. And I go, man, that is the most baller thing in the world. Wearing like a $5,000 shirt and a pair of sweatpants, walking his dog. I don't care. I can dress however the hell I want to. And that's what I'm going to do. He was my idol after that. I'm like, this.
Well, that's a bit of a flex. I like that.
That is the big. I mean, there's no bigger flex than that.
Because I bet you those sweatpants were $500 sweatpants too.
Oh yeah, probably. But still, it's like a $5,000 shirt. And here's a $500. Yeah, these sweatpants, they were nothing. I bought these with change from my couch cushions. They're only $500. So again, the baller style is there. And believe me, I would be the cool guy in the bar out of the three of us. Meanwhile, we watched Giannis win the MVP for a second straight time tonight. We heard the LeBron James sound a few minutes ago. I'll play back for you coming up later on this hour, in which he was very upset that he didn't win the MVP. doesn't know if people who vote for the MVP watch the games, all these things, which really, quite honestly, that's a really big shot at Giannis. I mean, the guy's great.
It's a shot at Giannis, and it's a shot at everybody that covers this game professionally.
Yeah.
And does nothing but prop you up at every turn, lapping up every word you say, even if you have no idea what the hell you're talking about things in the outside world. They lap it up and you know, make you a prophet.
You know, I wasn't a big fan. I mean, I don't think he thought of that aspect of it and how that would come across. And it comes across as a shot at Giannis and again, and the people who vote for this and have propped him up for years. And it was I don't think he saw that as an intended consequence of it. He saw what we talked about a few minutes ago. He saw that this is a way to motivate. This is a way to bring up something that is going to push him the rest of his career. But that's part of it as well. Because with LeBron, it's not always one thing or the other. Sometimes it's parts of a whole. And that's definitely a part of it, is that, okay, now you've insulted Giannis and you've insulted the people who have voted for the award. And quite honestly, you know what? Giannis was the MVP. I mean, if you can sit here and say, oh, well, I'm not tainted by what went on in the bubble. LeBron was still the MVP. No, you are, because you watch Giannis go home early for the second year in a row, and here's LeBron in the finals. And no matter what you say, you are pushed to, hey, LeBron is the guy who wins the MVP because I saw him play so well here, and Giannis was terrible and couldn't lift the Bucks even into the conference finals. So that's going to play into your opinion if you say LeBron's the MVP. But look at the guy. I mean, it's pretty simple. I mean, everybody watches the games. We know who the best players are. LeBron James and Anthony Davis were the co-ones on this team this year. Did LeBron have an incredibly different role coming into this year because he was a point guard and he set things up? Yes, but he was setting up Anthony Davis, who had an MVP-type season himself. As you said, you would have voted for him second for MVP. Yeah. You have LeBron and AD, who their talent levels are different, but their impact with the Lakers is the same. The Lakers are not where they are. If you lose AD from this team, they would take a big dive. You lose LeBron from this team, they would take a big dive, obviously. But you have two players who are the co-number ones, okay? And on the Bucks, who's the number one? Giannis. And who is 10 yards past him, below him? It's Chris Middleton, who's a pretty good player. He's an all-star player, but he's not AD. Let's say LeBron is the best and Giannis is the best. Who would you rather have between AD and Chris Middleton? It's not even close. It's not even close to number two guy. It's Anthony Davis. So if you have two players who are really the co-number ones on the team, and then you could split the MVP votes between the two of them, how can you tell me one of those guys is better than Giannis? It's a regular season award. Giannis is a terrific regular season player. Now he's Peyton Manning, in which Peyton Manning had one level, right? All the way we talked about this, whether it was week 3, week 6, week 9, or the AFC title game, Peyton Manning gave you that same level of excellence. He had none of that step up in the playoffs where everybody else stepped up. He knew one way to do things. That's the same thing Giannis does. His level of excellence in the regular season goes into the playoffs, but he hasn't found that next gear or found a way to alter his game to make his team go further in the playoffs yet. He's kind of like Peyton Manning, but it's a regular season award. It's what it is. And for the regular season, Giannis and what he has in Milwaukee, what he had with him, he's got a really good supporting cast, but what LeBron having Anthony Davis, I mean, come on, that's not even close. It's not even close.
No, he's a shell. The secondary guy for a good chunk of the season, you could argue, is Brooke Lopez, particularly once you got to the bubble and into the playoffs. Middleton had a couple of big games, but there were times he did a disappearing act. 29-5, 13-6, 5.6 and 1. There's Giannis. LeBron, 25.3, 7.8, 10.2, and a half a block a game. So those are your stats if you want to go and break that down. I think part of the saltiness is still chasing Jordan in rings, right, and still a ways away from that. And even if he makes this one, no matter what narrative you put to it in this unusual, unprecedented 2020, and you know, sell. From the MVP slight, he's still down 5-4 to Michael Jordan. So
well,
don't think that that's not part of the argument as well, right?
Oh, sure.
And the fact that since he last won it, KD, Steph, Westbrook, Harden, and back-to-back Giannis, saying, well, I've been here, you know, rocking my peers year after year. And I'm not getting over anymore, right? He mentioned the I've been second four times. Like, and but then he immediately brought up also the second time in losing championships. So good of him for that self-awareness, because that was going to come from scribes and social media. But the reality is, at this point, you're not measured by some regular season award. You're just not. It's all about titles. So I'm sorry if you feel slighted here. Go have a nice glass of wine, relax, and come back and finish off the Nuggets, and then finish off your Heat or my Celtics. And in theory, you should forget the MVP award, because if that's your motivation, like I see a bunch of current and former players, that motivation. Like, dude, if he's not motivated to higher things and the titles, like an MVP award that 101 people decide, you know, here's my 5-point system, you know, my five players that I've got to choose for him, and he finishes second. If that's going to be the thing that drives you after all the accolades, all the accomplishments, you know what? Good on you. Stare in the mirror and let that fuel you. I don't get it.
Twitter at How About a Fresca. Mike gets swollen dome. The Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon. Look, this is who LeBron is. It's who he's been forever. He's been polarizing. He's been his own person, and we're going to miss him when he goes. When he retires.
Oh, there's no question.
Boy, we had a lot to talk about. But I mean, just this is an example of it, because there's so many different layers to LeBron talking about not liking the fact and being pissed off he didn't win the MVP. He knows everything he says is going to have an impact, right? He knows everything he says. He knows what he says and how it's going to be taken. So for him to complain about not winning the MVP for so long and then go, well, don't get it wrong. I mean, I'm not unhappy. No, you know exactly how this is going to play. You know, you want people to know how pissed off you are. Okay, I understand that. And you want people to know you're pissed off because A, you want people to know that this is a big motivator for you for the playoffs. Okay, B, you know that this could be something that spurs you on to the NBA Finals. But then there's the other part that we just broke down. C, it's a shot at another star. And D, the writers who propped you up with your popularity for the past years. It's about all of this with LeBron. Sometimes he thinks things through all the way, and he says things 100% I want to. Other times, I know what I want to say, I'm going to say this, and then, oh, well, this is going to be a part of it. And, you know, I think this was one of those unintended consequences with what he said, but it's part of what he said. You can't ignore it. I mean, and this part of makes up LeBron and everything that he is. And look, for the last half hour now, we've had three different conversations about LeBron saying he's pissed off not winning the MVP. I mean, that tells you something about the power of LeBron and when he speaks and what he says and where it goes everywhere.
Well, and just think tomorrow, he might as well have just put it in print either on Twitter as he left the interview area. I want to see 85 columns kissing my ass for the performance I gave you tonight since you screwed me out of my MVP award. I'm out.
The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon coming up. Hey, we get a visit to Vegas. Find out where the numbers are moving for the big week two in the National Football League. Also, the big weekend in college football. Keep it right here. You are listening to Fox Sports Radio. But first,
be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Fox Sports Radio, the Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon.
OJ.
Live from the Geico Studios.
I've been called a lot of things. But
yeah. I'll tell you what, Mike Harmon, especially in this house and in friends' houses, Sunday's going to be a big day because there could be no more TikTok on Sunday. No more TikTok. Now, I think if you still have the app already, you get to keep it, but you can't download it anymore or download any updates for it. I think that's how it goes.
So you're saying I'm supposed to download it before then?
Well, I think that's how it goes. I remember reading that if you have it, you get to keep it, but you don't get the updates or anything else, and that's it. And now, you know, the TikTok Savage Dance song, classy, bougie, you know, who knows how many more times you get to hear it.
I'm sure it'll make an appearance somewhere else.
What about the TikTok stars? What are they going to do?
They'll find a new app to join.
They'll go to Vine.
Oh, dude, nobody told you about Vine.
Vine will come back. That's how it's going to go.
Mikey doesn't know about Vine.
Classy,
bougie. I couldn't care less about Vine. not my medium. But no, the next iteration of whatever it is, and then people will start transferring there. you know, like rats fleeing the sinking ship. What's next? Where's the next holdup? Let's go.
Fox Sports Radio, the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon live from the Geico Studios. Joining us now on the hotline, our insider in Las Vegas, our man, Todd Furman. You can follow him on Twitter, at Todd Furman. That is at Todd Furman. Check him out every day. Lead actor on Fox Sports 1's Lock It In. Todd, what's happening, man? How are you?
I'm doing well this evening, gentlemen. How are you guys doing?
Yeah, we're good, doing man. Pretty good. Yeah, you didn't give me the not a whole heck of a lot on a Friday night, which tells me you have a lot going on tonight.
Well, I mean, you guys had aroused me from a nap after watching that Lakers blow out of the Denver Nuggets that helped put me to sleep a little bit earlier. I needed to shake the cobwebs a little bit, walk the dog, give you guys about a solid 8 minutes before I tap out for the evening.
All right, well, first thing I want to know is this. If you give me odds on the fact that TikTok stays past Sunday, what kind of odds would you get that I could still get TikTok on Monday?
I'd make it a substantial favorite. I mean, I'm thinking we're talking in that $3 or $4 range that it'll stay there. It'll get an injunction filed one way or another. There's no way it's going to disappear completely come Sunday, although I have to imagine the folks at Instagram and what is it, Instagram Reels now that's kind of filled that gap.
Yeah.
They would love TikTok to disappear so they could be the primary social media app.
Todd Furman with his reels coming off Fox Bet Live each and every day and the chicanery, tomfoolery happening there. College football, we've had a couple of games canceled, and there's nervousness, but this week the light shines brightly. The Big Ten and ultimately the Pac-12 getting ready to come back. What's the handle been like, and you know what's the buzz in Vegas related to these conferences looking to get back to work?
I think once we have the power conferences all kicking off, you're talking about much more substantial attention being paid to what's going on in college football by the recreational bettor. We know the SEC will get going next Saturday, so this is kind of the final warm-up weekend, so to speak. And you do at least have a marquee game tomorrow night between Miami and Louisville, so that handle should be pretty substantial. But when you look at a relatively small college football slate highlighted by games like Liberty, Western Kentucky, App State against Marshall, and Texas State, Louisiana, Monroe, you're going to get folks tying these into parlays, but not making a day out of hanging out in the sports book or really trying to invest their hard-earned cash. And when you talk about the Big Ten and their potential return October 24th, then I think we're really going to have college football in earnest, and you'll see the numbers begin to skyrocket, much like we've seen at least through the NFL's primetime games thus far.
Well, I feel like that's going to come next weekend when the SEC starts, because it's like these couple weeks have been, all right, we have ACC games and we have some Big 12 games. We have, you know, Clemson's number one, okay, but it's just missing that extra bit of specialness. And look, when you only have 19 games on a Saturday because 7 get canceled because of COVID, it gets difficult. But I think once the SEC hits next week, I think that's where the big jump is going to come in college football.
Definitely, and when you begin to look ahead at that SEC slate, there are a couple games that offer a good amount of intrigue. Of course, we'll see Lane Kiffin's debut as head coach at Ole Miss. You have an Auburn team that's retooling on both their offensive and defensive line, taking on Kentucky, and a couple games on paper that don't look to be all that competitive, but I think just seeing those perennial plow powers and the blue bloods back in action really changes the dynamic, and so instead of having some meaningful college football games in September that can define the national championship race, we'll just have to flip the calendar to October before we start to see all those teams doing battle.
Before we flip to the NFL, any value plays that you see on the board in college football? Was trying to make sense of some of these teams.
I think when you look at Navy Tulane, it's going to be real interesting to see what we see from the midshipmen, knowing the last time they were out there, Kenny Amatalolo openly admitted, hey, look, we haven't done any live tackling, and it sure showed in their 55-3 bludgeoning at the hands of BYU. So I expect Navy to be a lot more competitive. This game has taken a good amount of money to the under as well, from 52 down to 47, and you wouldn't know it given the high-scoring affair they played last year. That was 41-38, and when we look in Smith's beloved ACC, I think Boston College and Duke, probably one of the more intriguing games. Two teams expected to finish towards the bottom of the standings. Duke a 5.5-point favorite. I really expect them to close closer to 4.
Vegas insider Todd Furman, our guest here, Fox Sports Radio. Jason Smith, Mike Harmon. All right, let's look ahead to Sunday week 2. What are a couple of games you really like taking a look at the schedule?
Well, I think one of the big games on the schedule, the Indianapolis Colts and the Minnesota Vikings, two teams that were pretty disappointed in their opener for very different reasons. Minnesota looked ill-equipped to slow down anything Green Bay threw at them. I mean, they logged a good amount of garbage time points, but for the most part, it was a 29-10 football game going into the final quarter. Meanwhile, Indianapolis, at least on the scoreboard, ended up losing to Jacksonville, but really dominated that game in most facets. One of the only teams last week, and I believe, that didn't punt a single time, had all of their drives end in Jacksonville territory other than one that resulted in a turnover. So I think the Colts are a team that can get healthy here against the Minnesota Vikings, and we'll see exactly which one of these teams that a lot of people had pegged as respective division favorites can avoid that dreaded 0-2. When we look at the primetime game, Cam Newton's second game as starting quarterback for the New England Patriots, we know that Seattle has been dynamite in primetime with Pete Carroll and Russell Wilson, but this is a team that's actually underachieved as a home favorite over the last couple seasons, being a little bit overvalued in betting markets. And will New England be a little bit more dynamic throwing the football, or will we see the ground and pound attack that churned out more than 200 yards for New England last week in their very workmanlike 21-11 win against the Miami Dolphins?
Now, I asked this with great trepidation. Smith did a little monologue on it earlier for his New York football Jets, talking about them getting absolutely obliterated, not understanding the 7-point line. 49ers take the loss, but also the injuries continue to pile. Can you make a case for the Jets plus 7?
I think the Jets are the only way to look in this particular football game, given the injuries you mentioned for the 49ers. When you begin to isolate San Francisco and their ability for big plays offensively, other than rookie receiver Brandon Ayuk, who hasn't seen one single NFL snap, there's no one else out there on that offensive side that leaves you brimming with confidence. No George Kittle. Debo Samuel isn't in the mix. Mohamed Sanu, let's see if he's up to game speed, who they brought in last week. And defensively, no Richard Sherman. The 49ers are a team that a lot of professional bettors really thought was going to regress this year. We saw that on full display last weekend in a game where Arizona was pretty pathetic for the first half and yet still able to go up to the Bay Area, win outright as a 7-point dog. Now, I know the Jets, the final score against Buffalo, rather misleading. They were dominated for the better part of three quarters. But let's see what we have from a team that was wounded and kind of embarrassed last week in Orchard Park, New York. Maybe they have a chance to replicate the upset they pulled off last year when the Cowboys came into MetLife Stadium right around the same price tag and the Jets won that football game outright.
Boy, I hope you guys are right, but there's one thing that I'm going to say that's going to, you know, put the wet blanket on your argument. It is the Jets. We're talking about the Jets. I mean, it's that really does.
Well, the big thing with the Jets, though, Smith, is we have no expectations. So if the Jets out there and lose by a field goal or win this game outright, you can say, oh, we didn't expect them to be competitive. And if they end up losing by 3 touchdown plus, then we'll know exactly where this team is, and we could probably start to put them on the clock for Trevor Lawrence in the 2021 draft.
Hey, I'm not saying I'm against that. I mean, if we're getting Trevor Lawrence, I'll be fine. Hey, the other game I thought was a big blow coming up here. I know, you know, there's the push of the game of the week and the intrigue of Belichick and the Seahawks, but if the Patriots are able to keep this game close, I'll be the most surprised guy in the world. Seattle's just on a different level, and if this game isn't Seattle 35-13, I would be really surprised.
Well, I think we're all overlooking the fact that this is still a Seattle pass defense that's rather vulnerable. From a defensive line standpoint, we don't quite know what the Seahawks are going to be. And while Russell Wilson was as dynamic as any quarterback in week one, going 31 for 35 for more than 300 yards and 4 touchdowns, let's see if Brian Schottenheimer remains aggressive, allowing him to throw on early downs where Seattle threw the ball 21 times in their first 35 offensive snaps, or will they be the same old Seahawks that revert to running on first and second, creating third and long and watching Russell Wilson run around for his life. There's still an underrated New England defense, one that I don't think is obviously as good as last year, knowing some of the key defectors. And I just can't ignore, when you look at the way Seattle has performed where it matters most, yes, they're 12-6 straight up their last 18 games at home, but they're only 6-11-1 against the number. So it wouldn't shock me in the least if Seattle ultimately wins the football game, but New England's able to cover, catching 4.
Last one, everybody waiting for fist fights in the parking lot. A line I used it on Jay Glazer, buddy with Bruce Arians, and I think it'll work. But Arians and Brady, all the war of words and everybody blowing it up this week. 8.5-point favorites at home. Carolina, I thought I saw the stat somewhere that we're looking at almost a full season's worth of games where they've allowed 3 or more touchdowns per game. That doesn't pretend to a big effort on Sunday.
Oh, there's no doubt that this Carolina defense is amongst the worst in the NFL. We knew that Matt Rhule had a full rebuilding job, a ton of youth. There was a reason that Carolina used every single one of their draft picks to address the defensive side of the ball. But you look at Tampa, and we're not quite sure, you know, if they're going to have any of their highest-profile weapons available. You're talking about Chris Godwin and Mike Evans, both, you know, long shots to play, if at all. Scotty Miller could be the most reliable receiver for Tom Brady. It could be a scenario where we're talking about the Bucs looking to establish the run, leaning on Leonard Fournette and Ronald Jones getting ample amounts of carries there, Tom Brady checking down and just trying to get his feet wet in his first home start. One thing to keep in mind, and Harm, I'm sure you've harped on it as well, not encouraging people to sit Christian McCaffrey, but you look at the way he performed in two games against Tampa last year, not exactly banner numbers. So I think Carolina is going to have to come in with an alternative game plan, knowing how athletic Tampa is at their linebacking core, and find another weapon to beat them. Maybe this is a game where DJ Moore can do some damage if Carolina is going to cover as more than a touchdown underdog.
Super Bowls, Jason Smith. Super Bowls.
You can follow him on Twitter at Todd Furman. That is at Todd Furman, lead actor on Fox Sports One's Lock It In. Todd, as always, buddy, appreciate it, man. Have a great weekend. We'll talk to you.
Always a pleasure. And Smith, if you're feeling aggressive, 10-1 the going rate on a Syracuse outright win for their trip into Heinz Field.
Oh my, yeah.
Look at you.
Yeah.
Stratton Fire Insurance Exchanges are affiliate.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
Fox Sports Radio, the Jason Smith Show with my best friend Mike Harmon. Live from the Geico Studios, and boy, do we have an action-packed next few minutes here on the show for you, right now on Fox. First thing, I just want to say this, because ratings have come in for Thursday Night Football, Browns and the Bengals, up slightly over the same time, same game last year, so a 3% increase. So apparently, yes, no one is watching the NFL anymore. It's done. No one's watching. Everybody, it's all about social reform. People are done. No one's watching. No one is watching. Yes, that's
Joe
why the ratings were up.
Burrow.
Yeah, that's why the ratings were up. Yet no one is watching. People have decided I'm going to only singularly and when I feel like it, not watch games because I don't like the social justice message that's going out there. But what about? But if it's a game I really want to watch, I'll watch. But oh, another game I don't want to watch as much. Then yes, then I'm going to be upset and I'm going to not going to watch in protest. Yes, that's what's happening.
Remember, polling is all full of lies, manipulation, and obfuscation. I'll leave it at that.
We'll have our final thought on the Lakers coming up in a couple of seconds. But first, every week Mike and I do this. We give you our big upset special picks for the weekend in both college football and the NFL. I'll kick things off in college. It's tough. I admit it's tough. There's 19 games, seven were postponed for COVID. And I'm going to go with South Florida getting 27 against Notre Dame. Look, South Florida, I have no idea if they're any good. They played like everybody on their roster last week. They played three quarterbacks against Citadel. They won by 20. I have no idea if they're any good. But Notre Dame looked very average against a bad Duke team last week. The home field advantage, we talked about it in college football for teams that rely on it. It's gone. It's a big equalizer. Like I said, I don't know that South Florida is any good, but I know Notre Dame just looked average. 27 points is a lot, so I'll take South Florida getting 27.
It's funny. As we talked with Todd Furman, I had added a second one after our earlier discussion. I had your Syracuse Orange plus 21. You know, your guy, Tommy DeVito and company, and wondering, wishing, wanting, hoping that all of the things you put out there a week ago, maybe they're just a week late. Maybe they needed to shake some rust off. Much like Navy, and to Todd's argument, the idea that, you know, that first game was the feel out because they hadn't done hitting. They got roughed up, maybe a little battle tested, and you know, taste of their own blood inspires them, but plus 7 against Tulane.
In the NFL, I'm going to give you two games. Sorry, buddy, I got to say this. I'm going to say the Giants getting 6 against the Bears. Look, the Giants are better than they were week one. Pittsburgh is terrific. The defense is going to be the best defense in the NFL. Pitt is loaded, and the Giants were able to stay close. Saquon Barkley gets man challenged this week. Chicago needed a great fourth quarter just to beat the Lions. But Chicago's got some defensive issues. Daniel Jones throws all over Chicago. It's a field goal game. That's why I like getting 6 points. I'm taking the Giants. Meanwhile, I'm going to take the Raiders getting 7 over the Saints. Vegas is opening their new home. The Death Star is opening with a really strong offense. Josh Jacobs picked up where he left off last year. Henry Ruggs looks like he could be a star. Drew Brees didn't look great at home week 1. I'll take the Raiders on the field, but I'll still take the points because I'm not going to say no to 7 points. So there's my two NFL upset specials, Giants getting 6 and Vegas getting 7 over New Orleans.
Looking at the Atlanta Falcons, a step down in class after that beatdown at the hands of Seattle. A better foe here, Dallas, no Van Der Esch. And offensively, what are they? Looking for Atlanta to make some hay. 3 wide receivers, add Russell Gage to the mix with our usual suspects, Ridley and Jones. You got Hayden Hurst and, of course, Todd Gurley while he's upright in the backfield. Matty Ice, don't let me down, +4, +4.5, depending where you're shopping. And then Gardner Minshew, getting a little more than a touchdown. You can get it at +7.5 on the road at Tennessee. You heard the particulars that while they were dominated and in terms of yardage, bend, don't break, take advantage of field position where you can. That's what Minshew did, making play after play. Chenault and DJ Chark leading the way.
So there you go. There are our upset special picks for the weekend, week 2 in the National Football League. And now to finish on the Lakers really fast. You know, they beat the Nuggets tonight in a game that was never close, right? We spent a lot of time talking about LeBron and the MVP. Sometimes when a team can smell a championship, things get a little different. And tonight was a Laker team where, hey, we talked about it this week. Were they going to come out like gangbusters? Were they going to feel their way out? And I told you, this is a team that's been sitting around. They know what it's like to get out to a big start. Denver's going to be a little flat. That's exactly what happened. And sure enough, the Lakers look like a team now that can smell the championship. The Clippers are out. The Bucks are out. Two teams that match up. They match up not very good against. And when that happens, that's a big energetic thing. Hey, you know, now we really believe, now we got to get this done. And you get a little bit more focused. You get a little bit more sense of urgency, which is what we've seen from the Lakers anyway. And tonight, they got out in transition. The Nuggets looked around like they had no idea what was happening. And that's exactly what we saw from the Lakers tonight. They can smell that title right now.
Blood's in the water, a lot of rest, a lot of football watching and wine, and now you go play bully ball. Get back to what won you the last 2 rounds. You can do it again here against Denver.
Twitter at How About a Fresca. Mike at Swollen Dome. Do you know that right now Geico's offering an extra 15% credit on car, motorcycle, and RV policies? Visit geico.com to learn more. For Mike, I'm Jason. Jonas Knox is next.